North Rock Podcast.
How's everybody doing this morning? We're good? Yeah, how about that worship this morning, huh? Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, well, welcome. Glad to have you this morning. We are getting ready to start a series called At the Movies, but we're currently in a series that we're calling The Great Adventure. And how many of you guys, like me, would say life can be an adventure, right? That's what we've been talking about. And as a group, a collective group, as a church, we've been on an adventure together over this past summer, what we've called the Summer of Love Initiative. And what that consisted of is that we made a decision to take a pause from our Saturday night services so that we would have the time, the energy, and the space in our own lives to go on the Great Adventure, to make some friends, to connect with some people, and then we promised that we'd be launching our Saturday night service again this coming September, right? How many of you guys know your pastor is a man of his word? We're going to be starting those Saturday night services again. But while we've been doing this Summer of Love, sorry, my mic's just a little bit hot. Can you guys help me out with that? We've been taking time to just spend time with our neighbors, throw some parties, some block parties, do some different things like that. I had the privilege this past weekend of actually taking some time and going backpacking, but not just backpacking, but it was like backpacking, hiking, camping. Anybody ever done that before? So usually when I think of backpacking, I think of something like this, right? Little school bag, carry around my books, you know, walk from class to class. You know, when you go hiking with Ed Bale, though, Ed took me up to Grizzly Lake. I mean, you put on a backpack. I mean, a backpack. You need a chest strap. You need the hip straps. You need to cinch that thing down. And then you hike in to a space that nobody can really drive to. And just had an amazing time up in the mountains. How many of you guys know that that's part of how God wants to bless us? Enjoying his creation as the gift that he's given us, right? And so I say that simply to say, one, checking in with you, Saturday night services are coming back. We'll be talking about that in coming weeks. Two, when we go on the great adventure, we've all got to have some equipment, don't we? We've all got to have something to take with us. And so I'm using Elijah's CR backpack, which is not a backpack backpack, but it's a cool one because it has CR on it, right? Yeah. To illustrate to us, to remind us that on the great adventure, we need the Holy Spirit to deposit some things in there for our journeys. Amen? That we're all on an adventure in this life. And when we go on the great adventure with Jesus, it takes us to some places that we may have never saw ourselves going. It takes us to a place where we have to ascend and descend into places that we may not have gone without his leading us, right? How many of you guys with me would say we want the Holy Spirit to lead us? We want Jesus, who is the great adventurer, to lead us into this next season of our lives. So my prayer for us today, as I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into our message today, is that the Lord would deposit some things in our spirit today, individually, collectively, for what he has for us in the future on the great adventure. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the worship that we've been able to have this morning. But Lord, we also know that you have sent us as you sent your son into this world so that we can be used by you to carry the influence that you have for this world, the love that you have for this world. And so, Lord, I pray now that you would deposit in our backpacks, Lord, you would deposit in our souls the words that we need, the nourishment that we need, the tools that we need to be effective and influential in this world, Lord, because we know that you have destined us to change and shape destiny for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to put my little backpack down here. Hopefully I don't trip over it in the middle of the message. But as we've been in this series, we've been looking at the Apostle Paul, right? We've been looking at the series of adventures and events that transpired in his life when he said yes to Jesus, right? When he went on his Jesus journey, he said yes to whatever came. And I think Paul, better than most that I know, did an amazing job at taking the good and the bad as it came, right? How many of you guys know, as I do, that good and bad is part of this journey? But that God can use the good and the bad to shape us and disciple us and to help us yield his influence in this world. That's the word today, is that one, we're all called to an adventure with Jesus. Together, collectively and individually. But even more than that, we all carry his influence. That when I see my influence through my gifts, I don't usually do much influencing. But when I see that my influence is his influence, it changes the way I go about my business, right? Changes the way we go about our business. And that's what Paul did so well. We've seen where he's had all kinds of challenges. He's been under house arrest. We've seen how God had used him to be faithful, to steward the message, to preach Jesus in the good and the difficult circumstances in his life. And then today, we're looking at Acts chapter 28, verse 20 through 30, to talk about what does it mean to live the great adventure well? What does it mean to steward and share the influence that he's given us? And what does it mean to really be destined to shape destiny as Paul did, okay? So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open them up to Acts chapter 28. We're going to be reading verses 20 through 30. It'll be up here behind me. If you have a hard time reading that, you can do like I do and print it and hold it up like this, right? Or if you have your electronic Bibles or your big Bibles or your pocket Bibles, pull those out, all right? Acts 28, verse 20 through 30 says, "For this reason I have asked to see you and to talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." You guys hear that sense of purpose, that sense of destiny that Paul had? Had that boldness, right? It says, they replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there have reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect," right? There's a reputation that preceded Paul all the way to Rome. Okay, it says, verse 23, it says, "They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying, and he witnessed to them." Turn to everybody and say, "He witnessed to them." I do that just because I know church folk don't like to talk to each other, so. And it's a good place in the middle of this whole text, you know, to give you a break, right? "He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his rented house and welcomed all who came to see him." See, this passage is encouraging to me because we see the ups and downs, the ascensions and the descensions of Paul's life and ministry from the time that he came to know the Lord. But we also, as part of that, recognize that he has an influence that's not common to most people, right? You guys ever run into people like that where you just kind of walk into them, you have a conversation, you just go, "Wow, that was different, right? That was powerful. There was something about that that resonated in my soul. There was something that happened in that." See, I believe that that's part of what the Holy Spirit does in and through his church, that he has given us his influence to steward in the relationships that we carry as Christ followers. And I also believe that this particular passage gives us what I consider a reproducible discipleship pattern for people's lives, right? Again, we know that Jesus told his disciples, "Go and make what? Disciples," right? Good. I'm glad some of you are reading your Bibles. Good job, Kyle. I'd love to see that, right? That he's called us, he has shaped us, and he has given his ministry to go and shape other people's lives, to actually make a difference in destiny. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys thought of your week this way this week? All right. Sometimes, if you're like me, which I know some of you are, not all of you, but some of you would say you're a little bit like me, right? Or that you like me, at least. Some of you. I didn't say all of you. Some of you. The world has a way of kind of just scrunching us down and helping us forget that we're on a great adventure, forget that Jesus rose from the grave. Forget that we bear his message and we bear his witness in this world. So the first point of instruction that I wanted to point out as part of that pattern of discipleship that he used throughout the book of Acts, but also in our lives, is that we would go. So point number one is simply that we need to go, that they might see with their eyes. How many of you guys would agree that it's important to see discipleship lived out? That before people care about what we say out of our mouths, they want to see a message that's lived. And that's the beauty of that passage. It says, otherwise that they might see with their eyes, that they would hear with their ears, they would understand with their hearts, and they would turn, and I would heal them. You know, this idea of being a witness has a lot of different interpretations in the world, doesn't it? That witness, to me, is more about who you are before what you say. But when we talk about our witness, it's not so much about what we have done, but about what we have experienced and what he has done in us and through our lives. You know, the word witness simply means this: to see, to hear, or to know by personal presence and perception, to bear witness to testify to, or to give or afford evidence of. How many of you guys know we live in a world that needs desperately the witness of Jesus in it? That we get to be those people, that it's the Holy Spirit in us and through us that compels us to go forward and share the ministry that he has for us. I think there are four key areas that we can pay attention to in this whole idea of going. The first is movement, right? It's really easy to sit and talk about the scriptures. It's a whole different adventure to go out and try to put them into practice, to try to go and share and bear witness with others in ways that are appropriate, in ways that show genuine love, in ways that make our lives a natural picture of what Jesus is doing in his ever-unfolding ministry. You know, this idea of going on the great adventure has opened up some fun conversations for me. Jody and I have had the opportunity to spend some more porch time than we normally have on a Saturday because we're usually here doing ministry with all of you. And just the other day, I had a breakthrough with one of the neighbors that we've been praying for years and connecting with. And it simply started like this. I came out, I sat down on my bench, looked over at him, said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Good." Next thing out of his mouth says, "Hey, can I bring a beer and come over and talk with you?" I said, "Sure, why not?" And so he came over, he sat down, and from all this time that we've been pouring out into his life, connecting with him, making friends with him, practicing proximity in his life, we've built up some trust. And so he comes, and he sits down, and the first thing out of his mouth isn't, "Nice day, huh?" It was, "You know, this whole Jesus thing." It's like, batter up. Softball, right? Which you want to be appropriate, and so you just let him talk. And he talks about how his life as a child was, he was forced to go to church, but he didn't really experience the Lord in that church. He just got all the habits of the faith. He just got all the should-dos from the faith. And so he started to carry that pack, and he couldn't, right? So that was a good experience. It's part of going. When we go, we see that God's active in reaching and loving on people in ways that we could only hope and dream to participate in. You know, right after church, you may have noticed, you may have not noticed, I'm wearing my Rockies purple here, whatever color they call it. I'm hoping for a win, okay, because I'm going to the game because another one of our neighbors suddenly just said, "Hey, we want to go to a game with you guys. Can we go to the game today?" And they bought us tickets to go to the Rockies games. Isn't that cool? While we're going on the great adventure, I already told you guys, I went camping. I went backpack hiking camping for the first time in my life. Because I had a Saturday to spend with one of our beloved council members, Ed Bale, here at the church. See, when we go on adventure, we get to see things that we don't get to see normally. And people get to see things that they normally wouldn't see, right? When we're going on the great adventure for Jesus, people see it in us and through us and in our lives. So four important areas that I think that we can be a witness in this world, in this time, is in the witness of our character. That we're people of substance and spiritual fortitude. That we have conviction or courage to continue to press into all that Jesus would have for us, even when things may not be going very well, right? I love that Acts chapter 28 starts with Paul getting into more hard stuff, right? So he's been he's been on this road with this sense of destiny to go to Rome to bear witness to Caesar about what Jesus is doing in this world. And he's just about on that last leg of it, right? And he has a shipwreck. You guys remember that in the first part of Acts 28? He has a shipwreck on Malta, and God does some amazing things through his ministry during that time. And then he finally arrives, and he's ready to bear his witness. And we see that he basically says that I'm here bound in this chain as the hope of Israel. That I chose to come and talk to you. I wanted to come and see you. That he felt that sense of urgency. Can I just say this? That we would not go on adventure if we didn't have Jesus calling us out into it. That we'd probably try to stay in our small little lives that we can maintain, and we try to do our very best to do what we want to do. But the idea of the backpack, the idea of us being on the great adventure isn't so we can do this. It's so that we can make the deposits here so we can go out and do that. Does that make sense? That's what we're hoping to do. So, but it's not enough that they would just see with their eyes, right? It says, second thing, it says in verse 27, that they might understand with their hearts, that they would hear. So that they might understand with their hearts. Psalm 19:14 says, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Isaiah 59, verse 21 says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips. And on the lips of your children, on the lips of your descendants, from this time and forever, says the Lord. How many of you guys know that there's a lot of instruction in the Word about being witnesses? About bearing the image and the heart and the love that Christ has for this world. Right? James chapter 3 devotes an entire chapter to it, doesn't it? Where basically he gives a correction to the church there, saying, You know, it's not good that we praise the Lord with our tongue and then, you know, we curse the images, the people who have been made in his likeness, right? It says, out of the same mouth comes praise and curse. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. You guys know that we're a witness when we choose to speak life into people instead of death. We're a witness when we choose to say, it's a good day and God's doing great works in the midst of all of our challenges, right? The challenges are not something that we can opt out of, that they come and they pass. But the Lord of hosts is the one who puts his words in our mouth, that if we would be willing to go on the great adventure and speak and to go and show, then it says that people would hear, that they would understand with their hearts. And here's the whole, you know, the whole reason for being here this morning. The reason for this disciple-making message is simply this, that how I speak supports or subverts the message and the mark of Jesus on my life. I'm going to say that again. How I speak supports or subverts the message of and the mark of Jesus that we bear. And it's confusing to people when we speak death, knowing that Christ has brought life to us, right? That we get to be the encouragers. We get to be the one who call out the great adventures in others. And that is worth all of life together. So a third point that's made in here, this is my favorite connection, is that the first one was go that they might. Everybody say might. Good, you're still awake. I love to hear that. Go that they might see with their eyes. Two, hear. Go that they may hear that they might understand, right? And here's the third one. This is where it changes to me. It says that way that they would turn, right? That's repentance. That's that 180. That's saying, I've been doing it my way, but instead I'm going to do it Jesus' way. I'm going to do it the way that he created me to be and to do. It says that they would be turned, and then it doesn't say they might be healed. What does it say? It says that they would be healed. That they would be healed. Isn't that a good word this morning, church? That God is not a God who just decides to pick and choose who gets healed. He says that when we turn, he heals. He says, right, that if we will go, that they might see, that they would hear, that they might understand with their hearts, that then when they turn, they would be healed. And healing has a lot of different meanings to a lot of different people in our lives. But the good news of the message today is that the purpose of our spiritual influence is that we would go, that we would show, and that we would speak, that they might turn so that God can heal them. How many of you guys here today know that God wants to heal your life? God wants to heal the illnesses. He wants to heal the challenges. He wants to heal the hurt in our lives. And we're trusting him to do that because his word says that's who he is and that's what he does. See, there's a proclamation followed by some reasoning in Paul's life, right? That he was so convinced of what God was doing in his life that he went through all the challenges that we see throughout the book of Acts. And here we are in Acts 28, after being shipwrecked, gets back up on his horse, which he didn't have, and he walked, you know. But he gets to Rome, and here he is again, reminding us that God's got a message, and that message is shared through his body that we might shape destiny. May I suggest today that you are shapers of destinies. That you have friends and family and coworkers and people that you're going to run into even today that God is wanting to share his love, his message of hope. And the good news of this passage is that it says that the Gentiles, they will listen, right? Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes I place restrictions on people's lives of who's ready and who's not to hear the good news of the gospel. I don't do it intentionally. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? The people that you just say, oh man, if they get saved, whoo! Right? Can I just confess from the stage, I'm one of those people. In fact, I had a friend that walked with Christ for a lot of years I played football with. And after I came to the Lord at age 21 in this very church, I went back to him. I says, Charles, why didn't you ever tell me this? Why wouldn't you share this great news with me? And you know what his response was? Because you would have killed me. Which is not true. Probably. But at the end of the day, again, it's not our decision, our determination, who hears and responds, right? It's our role to go, to share, and to say, and to show, right? And then God will heal. He will do what he does, right? Here's the other interesting thought that I had with this passage. Verse 27 says that they will be healed. And I know that even as I speak that, there's people in the room going, yeah, well, where's my healing? Or, yeah, I've been praying for healing about this or for that, and it hasn't happened yet. Isn't it interesting that as part of this passage, the last thing that happens in it, it says that they would turn and then I would heal them? I don't know about you, but because I love people, I want their pain to go away. I want to be somebody that's, you know, let's get them healed, and then they'll listen to the message of who Jesus is. But in the passage, it's the inverse order, isn't it? It's interesting because I always want to take away the pain in somebody's life, but I would like to just suggest that sometimes in the temporary season of this life and of this world, that maybe, just maybe, God's got a redemptive plan in somebody's pain. That's usually in our lives that it's only through pain and challenge and suffering that we quiet ourselves enough to say, oh, I got to turn to receive the good that you have for me and the healing that you have for me. My best day at this church would be when people at North Rock are known for going, for showing, and for speaking life into the people that we run into, that they might turn and that they would heal. Here's the final point that has been reinforced and reiterated probably 7 times in this message, so I don't really need to do a lot of my closing. But it's basically that same pattern repeated over and over and over and over and over and over through God's church, through his people that Jesus uses on the great adventure to change lives. How many of you guys know that the majority of ministry that's going to happen in this church isn't going to happen on this platform? We only have so much time and so many spots and so many things we do. But the goal is that we would equip each other, we would encourage one another, and that we would put something in your backpack and then we would say, go out on the great adventure. Go shape destinies of the people that you love, that I may never even meet. That is the great adventure, and that is the great joy of being led by a fearless leader in Jesus Christ, right? That he's got a message, and he's got a means for delivering that message, and that's you and I. How many of you guys would admit, as I do, sometimes I just pray that God would do something about somebody's life that I want to see changed? It's a good place to start. But the message, reminder is, go. Go that they might see and that their eyes might be open. Go show that their, go say so that their hearts would be open and that they would understand the Word of God, and it would change their lives. Same way ours has, right? You know, I was reading a devotional this week, and I'm going to ask our worship team to come up as we're getting ready to close our message out. The idea is that we repeat this cycle of he being healed so that we now become image bearers and that we would go and show and say along the way as well. But I was reading a men's devotional written by a guy named Justin Camp. It's called The Wire Devotional. If anybody has ever read it, it's really good stuff. And he wrote something that I thought was really pertinent, but it was really applicable to what we're talking about on this great adventure. And he basically said this. He said, when men head off towards something in the distance, towards something good and worthy, but also into the unknown obstacles, detours, deprivations, and dangers, those are adventures. We tend to think of them as journeys of ascent, like climbing to a summit. But are they really? Aren't adventures actually journeys of descent? Again, coming down, right? And actually, doesn't therein lie their power? Our culture teaches that ascending brings us life. Ascending in schools, our careers, our social standings, in the sizes of our houses and in our bank accounts. But our King, Jesus Christ, teaches the opposite. He teaches that we come alive instead by descending. And he teaches that we come alive by listening to God, trusting God, and relying on God. That's why adventures are so important. On them, we descend voluntarily. We forego the comfortable, the secure. And we welcome discomfort and danger in our lives. We relinquish control all towards a far-off good and worthy goal. We put ourselves quite literally in the hands of God on adventures. We allow him to teach and to shape us and to awaken and to recharge us. Isn't that good that we can't do this in isolation? We can't do this just jumping from one mountaintop to the next mountaintop. Can I just tell you the hiking that I experienced? I saw things that I haven't seen in decades, maybe ever. Beautiful. God's got some amazing, beautiful creation. But I couldn't do it if I didn't go on the journey. Couldn't do it without the work of climbing and hiking and getting to that place, right? It says that when we relinquish control all towards a far-off good and worthy goal, we put ourselves quite literally in the hands of God. On adventures, we allow him to teach us, to shape us, to awaken and recharge us. Jesus' road to the cross was the ultimate adventure. He set upon something of immeasurable goodness and worth. He faced obstacles, detours, deprivations, and dangers. He descended, but he didn't descend so that I wouldn't have to. He descended to show us how. Remember, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my name's sake will find it. So as we close today with a little more worship, we do that not just a ritual, but a reminder that God is active and working in our lives, that he has a destiny for each of us to go and speak and show. Would you take some time and pray for the people that God would put on your heart, the people that you might have an influence that you may not even know you have with them right now? And then I'm going to come up and we're going to close. But first and foremost, be encouraged that you're on a great adventure. Be encouraged that the Holy Spirit is drawing you into the grand, great adventures. Amen? Amen. Let's worship. Father, we do take some time this morning, and we're reminded today that you are on a great adventure, and that you have called us alongside of you to pour out your glory through our lives, that we would be a people that are willing to go, to show, to speak your life into others. Father, I thank you that when we hear and understand, we have an opportunity to turn, and that you would heal your people. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray healing for those in our midst that need healing. And, Lord, we take time at the end of our services to pray because we believe and we contend that you are the great healer, that you not only give us life, but you heal our very bodies. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for healing in our midst. And, Lord, that you would use us as agents of transformation, people that shape destiny in this world as we prepare our hearts to leave and to go. And as we do that, I did want to just share one last scripture verse. for those that may be doubting this morning, those that may be saying, yeah, but Pastor Chad, you don't know. I've done some stuff to my witness. I don't really know how to go about this. Can I just encourage you today? Isaiah 51 verse 16 says this, I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundation of the earth, and who say to Zion, you are my people. Would you receive that today? Would you receive that you are his people and that there are adventures all around us? Adventures to ascend and use those victories to lift up the name of Jesus, but also those moments in our life where we need to descend, where we need to reach out to somebody, where we need to share, we need to give, we need to go in ways that normally we wouldn't, right? Take some time today. Notice the grand adventures that Jesus has in your life and go on adventure for him. Amen? Amen. Well, as part of our rhythms at this church, we are reminded that it's Jesus that leads us on the great adventure, that we don't do it in and of ourselves, right? And so if today is your first opportunity to pray this prayer, we want to say welcome to the family. We are so glad that you chose to come here to North Rock. And we're getting ready to pray a prayer that basically reiterates what we just talked about. That Jesus rose from the grave, not just for humankind, mankind, but for you, for me, for us individually. So we're going to pray this prayer, and then I'd like to invite anybody that would like prayer for healing, or if you've prayed this prayer for the very first time, to come up, to come see me, because I would love to just encourage you in that decision, all right? So let's go ahead and pray the prayer that's been up here for the last 2 minutes while I've been talking. You ready? Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you. If you did make that decision for the very first time, I'd love to meet you. Otherwise, you guys have a great week. Be blessed and go on a great adventure, all right? As always, we have people available for prayer. Come on up. We'd love to have the opportunity to pray with you, okay?
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.